Welcome to another Deep Dives, everybody. Today, we're going to be tackling learning itself.
Oh, wow.
Led by Dr. Marie Norman.
Okay.
Co-author of the book, How Learning Works.
Oh, cool.
And I am very excited to unpack this with you.
I think this is a really interesting one because Dr. Norman, her background isn't just education.
Right.
She started in cultural anthropology.
Oh, wow.
Before moving into medical research education.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So that blend, I think, is going to give us some really unique perspectives.
Absolutely. And we're going to try to figure out how understanding the science behind learning can actually help you learn more effectively.
Right.
And maybe avoid some common pitfalls.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are focusing today on two key principles from learning sciences.
Okay.
Prior knowledge and motivation.
Two big ones.
Yes.
I mean, those are really fundamental to the whole process.
Absolutely. And they impact like how you absorb information.
Yeah.
How you tackle challenges. And then ultimately how you reach your goals.
Exactly. Yeah. They're sort of the engine behind everything.
Okay. So have you ever felt like you were missing a piece of the puzzle when you were trying to learn something new?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
That's where prior knowledge comes in.
Okay.
Dr. Norman uses this really clever card experiment to illustrate this.
Okay.
It's called the Wasson card selection test.
Wasson?
Wasson, yeah.
Okay.
So imagine four cards.
Okay.
Each with a letter on one side.
Got it.
A number on the other side.
Okay.
The rule is, if a card has a vowel on one side, as they have an even number on the other side.
Okay.
You have to figure out which cards to flip over to test this rule.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm already going to mess this up.
Well, most people trip up.
Okay.
Because we kind of instinctively try to confirm the rule by looking for vowels and even numbers.
Yeah.
But the real trick is to look for potential violations of the rule.
Oh, okay.
And now here's where it gets really fascinating.
Yeah.
Dr. Norman then presents a more relatable version of this same test. And it involves the legal drinking age at a bar.
Oh, okay. I see where this is going.
Yeah. And suddenly it becomes much easier to figure out which cards to flip.
Yeah. Because you can imagine like a, you know, like a 19-year-old trying to get served.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so this is because we can tap into that existing knowledge.
Yes.
That we have about drinking ages.
Right. Social norms.
Social norms. Exactly.
It makes it make more sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this just highlights how our prior knowledge acts as this framework for new learning.
Like a scaffold.
Yes.
Yeah.
When we can connect the new information to something that we already understand.
Yeah.
It just clicks and learning becomes much smoother.
Yeah. It's like you have a place to put it.
Yes, exactly.
You know, in your brain.
Yes.
It's not just floating around out there.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay. So Dr. Norman states this formally as, when activated, sufficient, appropriate, and accurate prior knowledge helps learning.
Okay.
So obviously, but it has some powerful implications, I think.
Right. Well, and I think it seems so obvious that we often forget about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So knowing that, how can we use this to be better learners?
Well, I think first we have to be aware of like the potential pitfalls of prior knowledge.
Okay.
Right. So Dr. Norman identifies four main issues that can really trip us up.
Okay.
The first one is inactive prior knowledge.
Okay.
So that's when you have knowledge,
yeah,
but you just don't think to use it.
Oh, like that time that I struggled with a physics problem for hours.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute, a concept from a previous math class would have helped me solve this in like 2 minutes.
That's exactly it. It's so frustrating.
So frustrating.
And that happens.
Yeah.
Okay. The second one is gaps in knowledge, which are, you know, these missing pieces of information that make new learning harder.
It's like trying to build a house without the tools you need.
Exactly. Like you're constantly trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
And then there's inappropriate prior knowledge.
Oh.
Where we apply correct information, but in the wrong context.
Right.
So like trying to apply quantitative research biases to qualitative research.
Right.
Right. Like they both deal with bias, but it manifests in different ways.
Great.
And so if you're trying to like force fit the wrong kind of prior knowledge in there,
yeah,
it can be really confusing and lead to inaccurate conclusions.
For sure.
And then the last one is inaccurate prior knowledge.
Okay.
And that's when we're holding on to these misconceptions or misinformation that are actively hindering our learning.
Oh, yeah.
Think about conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
Those are a great example because those beliefs can clash with new information and make it really difficult to objectively process and evaluate the evidence.
For sure. So these are some serious learning roadblocks.
Yeah, they can be.
But now that we're aware of them.
Right.
What can we do about it? How can we as learners use this knowledge to our advantage?
That's a great question. I think it starts with recognizing these pitfalls in our own learning experiences.
Okay.
Right. So like, let's say you're starting a new coding course.
Mm-hmm.
what are some steps you could take to either activate the relevant prior knowledge or identify the gaps that you might have?
Got it.
I think a really good first step is reflection.
Okay.
You know, think about your past experiences.
Yeah.
Have you coded before? Mm-hmm. What languages are you familiar with?
Mm.
Answering those questions can help you pinpoint areas
yeah.
where you might need to refresh your skills or seek out additional resources.
Makes total sense. Like, be proactive.
Yes.
About it.
Exactly.
Address those issues up front.
Address them head on.
Yeah.
And hopefully make that learning journey a lot smoother and more effective.
For sure. Now, another important aspect of prior knowledge is recognizing that even experts can have blind spots.
Yes.
You know, like that time I was trying to learn how to bake bread from my grandma,
yeah.
who has been baking for decades.
Right.
Her instructions were so vague. It was like she assumed I already knew all the little tricks and techniques that she'd picked up over all those years.
Exactly. And it's so frustrating.
Super frustrating.
As a learner,
yeah.
to be learning from someone who's skipping over those steps or using jargon that's totally unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And that's what Dr. Norman refers to as the expert blind spot.
Okay.
Where the experts sometimes forget what it's like to be a novice.
Right. So it's not just about our own prior knowledge.
Yes.
It's about understanding that those teaching us might have their own.
They have their own blind spots.
Okay.
And I think recognizing that can help us ask better questions.
Yeah.
Seek clarification when needed.
Yeah.
And ultimately bridge that knowledge gap more effectively.
Totally. Now, to kind of illustrate this, Dr. Norman presents a case study.
Okay.
That shows these principles in action.
Yeah.
And she describes a statistics class.
Okay.
Where the professor assumes that familiarity with certain statistical tests
right.
automatically means that they know how to apply them in real world scenarios.
Right. Just because you can regurgitate the definition doesn't mean you can actually use it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he tries to simplify things by using this COVID test analogy.
No, interesting.
But even that oversimplifies the complexities
right.
of applying the statistical concepts to real data.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so as a result, students struggle.
Of course.
Some choose the wrong statistical tests.
Right.
Others misapply the right tests.
Yeah.
And some even let their personal beliefs cloud their analysis
wow.
of the data.
So it's like all of those pitfalls coming into play.
All coming together.
Yeah.
And it's just a case study that perfectly demonstrates how prior knowledge or lack thereof
yeah.
can significantly impact a student's ability to learn and succeed.
Yeah. And it also highlights the responsibility of the instructor
yeah.
to be mindful of those issues.
For sure.
And to tailor their teaching accordingly.
Absolutely. So as you embark on your own learning adventures, pay attention to your prior knowledge.
Yes.
What are your strengths?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the gaps?
Yeah.
Are there any potential biases or misconceptions that might be influencing how you're approaching new information?
That's a great point.
By being aware of these factors,
yeah.
you can make more informed choices about how you learn.
Yeah.
Seek out the resources you need and ultimately become a more effective learner.
Yeah, I love that framing of it.
Yeah.
You are in the driver's seat.
Yes, you are.
Of your own learning.
You are. Okay, so now let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And dive into another powerhouse of learning motivation.
Yes.
It's what gets us in the learning zone.
Totally.
And keeps us going when things get tough.
Right. It's the fuel.
Yes.
It's what keeps us coming back for more.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But motivation is more than just
yeah.
feeling excited or enthusiastic about something.
Right. It's not just a feeling.
Right.
It's about having the drive yeah.
to actually engage in the actions that lead to learning.
Right. So it's not enough to just be interested in a topic. You have to actually put in the effort.
You got
to
do the work.
Yes.
You got to show up.
You got to do it. Yeah. And stick with it even when things get challenging.
Yeah, exactly. And it can take different forms,
yeah.
right? Like for some people, it might be participating actively in a class discussion,
mm-hmm.
or for others, it might be seeking out extra resources.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's pushing through the frustration when you hit a roadblock.
Oh, I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
I remember when I was learning to play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited at first.
Yeah.
But then I hit these difficult chords.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite get them right.
It's so frustrating.
Oh, it's so frustrating. I almost gave up.
Oh, yeah.
But there was this drive in me that was like, no, I want to learn this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep going until I get it.
Yeah. What was it about guitar that made you?
I don't know. I've always loved music and I wanted to be able to create it myself. Yeah. There's something so satisfying about that.
Oh, it's the best.
About being able to play an instrument.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it took that motivation to get me there.
Right, because it's not easy.
No, it's not.
It takes a lot of time and effort.
So much practice.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dr. Norman introduces this framework that really helps us understand motivation.
Okay.
It's called the value expectancy framework.
Value expectancy.
And it has these two main components,
yeah.
Value and expectancy.
Okay, so break that down for me.
Okay, so value refers to whether you as the learner perceive the material as important.
Got it.
Or relevant to your life.
Okay.
Does it connect with your interests, your goals,
yeah.
your needs?
So if I'm learning something just because I have to, but I don't really see how it applies to my life.
Right.
My motivation is probably going to be pretty low.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? Okay.
And then on the other hand, you have expectancy.
Okay.
And that's all about whether you believe that you can actually succeed at the task.
Okay. So it's like a belief in yourself.
Yes. Belief in your own ability to achieve the outcome.
Okay. I get it.
This reminds me of when I tried to learn Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
I really wanted to be able to converse with my Spanish-speaking friends.
Yeah.
So the value was definitely there.
Right.
But I really struggled with the grammar and pronunciation.
Yeah.
And I started to doubt my ability to become fluent.
Right. It's easy to get discouraged.
Oh, sure.
When you hit those roadblocks.
Yeah. And that lack of belief really impacted my motivation to continue.
Right. So it sounds like you had the value.
Yes.
But you didn't really have the expectancy.
Yeah. I was like, what's the point?
Yeah, you need both.
I need both.
For that motivation to really thrive.
It's like a two-legged stool.
Yes.
Exactly. You need both legs for it to stand strong.
I love that analogy.
Okay, so Dr. Norman dives even deeper into that value component.
Okay.
Highlighting three key elements that can influence how we perceive value.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so the first one is competence.
Competence.
We are naturally motivated to learn when we feel capable. And see ourselves mastering new skills.
Okay, so like if I'm good at something.
Yes.
I'm more likely to want to keep doing it.
You're more likely to keep learning and keep going.
Right. Because it feels good.
It feels good.
To be good at something.
It does. Like think about the satisfaction that you get when you finally grasp a difficult concept or you complete a challenging project.
Oh, it's the best feeling.
It's the best.
Yeah.
And that feeling of competence is a powerful motivator.
It is. It makes you want to come back for more.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the second element is relatedness.
Relatedness.
Learning becomes more valuable when we feel connected to others.
Oh, okay.
And we have a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
And we can learn collaboratively.
So it's like that social aspect.
Yes, the social aspect is huge.
Of learning.
This makes me think of study groups.
Yeah.
Like studying with friends is always more fun and engaging than cramming alone.
It's so much better.
So much better. You have that shared experience.
Yeah.
You can brainstorm together.
You can support each other.
Yes. And you can support each other. It makes a huge difference.
It really does. It's like you're learning from this isolated activity into this shared journey.
A shared journey. I love that.
Yeah.
And then finally, we have autonomy.
Okay.
This is when we have choices. We make decisions.
Yeah.
We take ownership of our learning.
Okay.
We're more likely to be motivated.
So it's about having control.
Yes. Having a sense of agency.
Okay.
Over our learning process.
Got it.
Like being able to choose a project topic that really excites us.
Right. Or setting your own learning goals.
Yes.
No. So you're not just following someone else's agenda.
Right. It's all about, what do I want to get out of this?
Exactly.
What am I interested in?
Yeah, because that's going to make you way more likely to stick with it.
Absolutely. So knowing all of this, how can we apply it to our own learning?
That's the big question, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think it starts with reflection again.
Okay.
Ask yourself what truly motivates you. What makes you feel competent and connected and in control of your learning?
Okay.
And the answers to those questions can help you personalize your approach.
Yeah.
Make learning more enjoyable and hopefully boost your chances of success.
I love that it's all about being self-aware.
Yes.
Understanding what drives us as individuals.
Yeah, we're all different.
We are.
We all have different things that motivate us.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think Dr. Norman makes a really good point that motivation isn't solely the learner's responsibility.
Oh, interesting.
It's a shared responsibility between the learner and those who create the learning experiences.
Okay.
Whether that's teachers or trainers or instructional designers.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. It's not enough to just tell someone, hey, you should be motivated.
Right.
You have to create learning experiences that are inherently engaging and relevant and supportive.
So it's about designing those learning environments.
Yes.
That foster that motivation.
Exactly.
Okay.
So think about things like clear instructions. It's like timely feedback, mm-hmm. opportunities for collaboration,
yeah.
a sense of community.
Yeah.
Those elements can make a huge difference
yeah.
in sparking and maintaining motivation.
This makes me think about my own experiences in online courses.
Yeah.
Like the ones that had a strong sense of community.
Right.
And offered regular feedback from the instructor were so much more engaging and motivating.
Exactly, because you felt seen and heard.
Yeah, you felt like you were part of something.
Yeah, and that your work mattered.
Yes, and that it mattered.
Yeah.
This has been so insightful.
It's fascinating stuff.
We've uncovered so much about the power of prior knowledge
yeah.
and motivation in this learning process.
Yeah, and I think it really highlights how much we don't know
right?
about how our own brains work.
Yeah. I feel like we've been handed this decoder ring for learning.
It is fascinating stuff.
Like by understanding the science behind how we learn, we can unlock our potential.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are some key takeaways that you hope our listener walks away with today?
I think the biggest one for me is that you're not starting from scratch when you learn something new.
Oh, that's such a good point.
You're bringing this wealth of prior knowledge to every learning experience.
We often underestimate how much we already know.
I think we do.
But as we've discussed, that prior knowledge can be a double-edged sword.
Absolutely.
Oh.
It's important to be aware of those gaps, inaccuracies, biases that might be influencing how we process new information.
Yeah. And I love those aha moments we talk about.
Yeah, those are great.
Like when we can connect new information to something we already understand.
It just clicks.
It clicks.
Yeah.
So as learners, we should actively seek out those connections.
Totally.
Don't be afraid to ask. Like, how does this relate to what I already know?
Yeah.
Or what are the similarities or differences between this concept and something I've learned before?
That's such a good strategy.
Yeah. And don't hesitate to ask for clarification.
Yeah.
If something doesn't make sense.
Right. Even the most brilliant experts can call victim to the expert blind spot.
Right. And to be humble and ask questions when we need to.
Absolutely.
Now, another big takeaway for me was the power of motivation.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's the fuel that drives learning.
Right, it's the engine.
It's the engine.
Right.
But it's not just about feeling excited or passionate about a topic.
Right, you got to do the work.
You got to do the work.
Yeah.
It's about having the drive to engage in those actions that lead to learning.
Right, so that's where that value expectancy framework comes in.
Yes.
You know, do you see the value in what you're learning?
Yeah.
Do you believe you can succeed?
Yeah.
And if the answer to either of those is no,
uh-oh.
Then it might be time to reassess.
Reassess.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to find a way to connect that material to your own interest.
Yeah.
Or your goals.
Yeah.
Or break down a daunting task into smaller steps.
Right. Make it feel less overwhelming.
Make it manageable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And remember those key elements of value.
Yes. Competence, relatedness, and autonomy.
Yes. Seek out those learning experiences that make you feel capable,
yeah.
connected, and in control.
You got this.
Yes. Whether you're taking a class, reading a book, or trying to learn something new in everyday life, mm-hmm. I think these principles can make a huge difference.
They really can.
I think so too.